Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it's Elijah. And others said, it's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John. Knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, he protected him. Now, when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers for the leaders of Galilee, and when his daughter by Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? And she replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately the girl rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, O Christ. Now, I have loved the Gospel of Mark. Woo! Got John on the brain. I've loved the Gospel of Mark for all of the 31 years I've been pursuing this call to public ministry. And yet, I have to admit, I've never seen this story of King Herod as anything more than a literary device. It's a story that's kind of meant to take up the time between Jesus sending out the disciples two by two to join him in proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, and their return to Jesus telling him everything that they have done. I've never seen it as anything more than maybe a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death. After all, they get confused at the beginning of the text. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. And also this unjust death at the hands of the religious or secular authorities, the disciples claiming the body, putting it in a tomb, that all sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? But what we have here might actually be an extension of what has come just before. A clear example of the difference between the reign of the world and the reign of God. An example of both the power of the word Jesus proclaims and the inexplicable reasons for its failure to grow in some people. Now, John the Baptist gets in trouble with Herod for proclaiming the truth, that it is not lawful for him to marry his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Now, at her urging, Herod locks John up, but he refuses to have him killed. Why? Well, he fears John. He knows he is a righteous and a holy man. And Herod likes to listen to what John proclaims, even though he is at a loss, perplexed by it. One commentator even translated as verklempt. It stirs something in him, not always pleasant. But still he likes to listen to him, even as that proclamation challenges Herod and his authority, challenges the reign and thinking of the world. Now, to get the full impact of this and why this might be important, you have to know something about Herod. He is son of Herod the Great. This Herod is sometimes known as Herod Antipas. Now, Herod and his family were known for their political ruthlessness, including the killing of family members to protect their power. They struggle and they scheme to remain in Rome's good graces so that they might rule their little slice of the empire, and they will do anything to protect that. These are not nice people. And yet there is something in John's proclamation that connects with Herod. One commentator suggests that this is a real-life illustration of Jesus' parable of the seeds. Remember that one? A sower went out to sow, and some seed fell on the path. Some seed fell on the rocks. Some seed fell among the thorns. They suggest that Herod is an example of the seed that falls among the thorns, that receives the word. It begins to grow, but the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, comes in, chokes it out, and it yields nothing. Herod receives the word. He keeps coming back to it, but then in an unguarded moment, he's caught by the ruthlessness of his wife. He does not want to behead John, but because he doesn't want to lose face with his leaders, because it is in his political and social self-interest, he willingly sacrifices John to his own ambitions. And so he has John beheaded. The cares of the world, the desire for other things, chokes out the seed of the word that is sown in Herod. This is real, isn't it? We can think of places that happens today, can't we? I hope they aren't moments where people literally die, but I'm sure we could all name a moment where we have compromised what we knew was right, what was the way to follow Jesus, that we've compromised that for what was politically or probably socially more expedient for us personally. Aided us in the reign and thinking of the world. It's also an example of the clash of these two reigns that we talked about last week. The reign of the world says, you do whatever you must to maintain and gain political power, up to and including murder. We may have had an example of that being lived out yesterday. The reign of the world is Herod sending out employees to arrest those who speak truth to it, to murder those who get in their way, just like they did to John. But in the reign of God, what does Jesus send his followers out to do? To heal and enlighten people so that they might be saved, so that they might find life that truly is life, so that they might be freed from all that binds them, find community and the shalom of God that is more than just lack of conflict, but the deep and imperturbable waters of baptism. In the reign of the world, we have Herod and his leaders sitting at a sumptuous banquet with more than enough food and drink, while in the reign of God, Jesus sends his disciples out with no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. So they must rely on the generosity of their neighbors for shelter and food, even as they go to serve these folks. Herod has everything. The disciples have nothing. Or do they? In the 8th chapter of Mark, Jesus warns his disciples that those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for his sake and for the sake of the good news will save it. Herod has everything, but he loses that life which truly is life. And the disciples will lose their lives. Look at the ultimate fate not only of John the Baptist, but the others. But they find a life that truly is life, a life worth living in following Jesus. This story is about reality. The reality that even religious authorities and religious people can be caught up in the thinking of this world. This is true of Herod and the temple authorities of that day, but also true of the northern kingdom of Israel from our Hebrew Bible reading. They had a temple. They had priests and sacrificed according to God's command. But God sent the prophet Amos to tell them that they had lost their way. That what they were building was not the reign of God, but had gone crooked. Because it ignored the plight of the poor, the marginalized, the weak. And they would not hear it. In a confession and forgiveness right out of the old green hymnal that I grew up with, we phrased it, "We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And I think that may be the worst sin. When we convince ourselves that what we're doing really is what God wants us to do, even in the face of clear evidence to the contrary. Time and again, Jesus doesn't teach those around them as much as he corrects their misunderstandings. See, the folks Jesus went to studied God's word regularly all of their lives. They knew the word of God intimately, certainly much more intimately than any one of us. And yet, so often they misunderstand. They engage in the thinking of the world, not the thinking of the reign of God. Even if they cloak it in pious displays. What kind of worldly cares chokes out the seed of the word in your life? Where in your life are you like Herod, sacrificing the thing you should do for success in the thinking of the world? Now, I don't know about you, but I could name far too many of those moments in my own life. But friends, there is good news for us. Because God and Jesus never, ever, ever, ever gives up on us. But continues to proclaim that good news to us through faithful followers. Through the scriptures, read, sung, proclaimed, through prayerful conversations with God. So that we too hear again the good news. The reign of God has come near in Jesus. So near that you can feel its breath on your cheek. Repent, change your thinking, and believe, trust in the good news. Trust in the thinking of that reign. Live as citizens of the reign of heaven. And the good news is that you have already been transformed. Through the waters of baptism that wash us clean each day, reboot our lives from the ground up. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us through that water and through the word. Through the love and grace and mercy of Jesus. Friends, you have already been transformed. It's just that sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes we get confused, especially when we spend too much time out in the world and around that stinking thinking. Following Jesus is not just admiring him from afar, knowing about Jesus, even knowing the Bible as simple stories, even historical stories. Following Jesus is about knowing the Bible is our story. Just as true and formative for us as your biological family history. It's about being in relationship with God through Jesus. Getting up and following Him. Joining Him in that freeing proclamation that in Him the reign of God is made visible. Join Him in living as if that were true. And so we together with Paul and all the faithful sing praise to God for this wonderful gift. That we don't have to live in the way of the world any longer. We have been freed from all of that. Friends, may the word of God root deeply in your hearts. May the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, cover you, so that you may be emboldened to respond to the call of Jesus to follow Him and to join in proclaiming that freeing and life-giving news to others, that the reign of God has come near. Thanks be to God.